Covered. Genesis 3:20-21. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothed them. Two verses, easy to read past. Yet the more I sit with them, the more convinced I become that they contain one of the most beautiful pictures of the gospel in all of Scripture. Only moments earlier, Adam and Eve had been hiding among the trees. Shame had entered the story. Fear had entered the story. Death had entered the story. They had covered themselves with fig leaves and stood trembling before the God who formed them from the dust. But God had not spoken the words they expected. They expected death. God spoke of children. They expected the end. God spoke of a future. They expected the serpent to triumph. God spoke of the serpent being crushed. Then, almost quietly, Adam turns toward the woman standing beside him and gives her a name, Eve. In Hebrew, Hava. Life, the mother of all living. I cannot help but pause there. Why now? Why does Adam call her life after death has entered the story? Why not before the tree? Why not in the joy of creation? Why not when she first stood beside him? God has just spoken of children, generations, and a future. The serpent will not have the final word. And Adam responds by giving her a name, life. I cannot prove it, but it feels as though Adam is beginning to believe what God has said. God has spoken life into a moment filled with death, and Adam echoes it. Standing in a garden now marked by shame and sorrow, he looks at the woman beside him and calls her life. That feels like faith. The story is not over, yet Adam and Eve are still wearing fig leaves. That detail matters. The first thing humanity does after sin is not run toward God. It is not restoration. It is self-covering. Shame always seems to move in that direction. Hide, protect, manage appearances, control the narrative, cover yourself before anyone sees too much. The leaves may have changed over the centuries, but the instinct remains the same. Some of us cover ourselves with success, others with religion, knowledge, busyness, reputation, humor, or carefully crafted versions of ourselves. We all seem to have our own fig leaves because shame whispers the same lie it whispered in the garden. If you are fully seen, you will no longer be loved. Then we arrive at one of the most overlooked moments in Scripture. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. For years I heard this verse explained almost entirely as sacrifice. An animal died. Blood was shed. A picture of Christ. Perhaps there is value in those discussions, but something has always stood out to me. The text never mentions blood. It never mentions sacrifice. It never mentions an altar. It never mentions atonement. It never draws our attention to the death of an animal. Instead, the picture Scripture gives us is surprisingly simple. God covered them. The emphasis is not on what died. The emphasis is on what God did. He covered them. Why? As I began tracing the theme of covering through Scripture, I noticed something fascinating. The Bible never stops talking about garments and coverings. Not because God is obsessed with clothing, but because clothing becomes one of Scripture's most beautiful pictures of relationship. When Jacob gives Joseph his famous coat of many colors, Scripture says, Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, and he made him a coat of many colors. Genesis 37:3. The brothers do not merely see fabric. They see Jacob's favor. They see inheritance. They see identity. They see family. The garment becomes a visible declaration of an invisible relationship. Joseph belongs to Jacob. Years later, Ruth approaches Boaz and says, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Ruth 3:9. She is not asking for warmth. She is asking for covenant, for protection, for redemption, for belonging. David uses the same language when he writes, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Psalm 32:1. Again, the language is not merely legal, it is relational. Something broken is being restored. The garment changes from story to story, but the message remains remarkably consistent. Covering is not merely fabric. Covering is belonging made visible. Then Jesus tells a story. A son demands his inheritance, leaves home, and wastes everything. By the time he begins the long walk back, he carries little more than shame. Along the road, he rehearses a speech explaining why he no longer deserves to be called a son. In his mind, the relationship is broken. The family bond is gone. The best he can hope for is servanthood. But when the father sees him, everything changes. The father runs. The father embraces him. And before the son can finish explaining why he no longer belongs, the father says, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him." Luke 15:22. The son is not cold, and the robe is not practical. The robe is a declaration. The father is not merely giving his son clothing. He is publicly restoring his place in the family. Before the boy can finish explaining why he no longer deserves to be called a son, the father announces what he has never stopped believing. "This is my son. Not was my son. Not might become my son again. Not if he proves himself. This is my son." The robe says what words alone cannot. "You belong here. You are family. You are mine. You have always been mine." And suddenly Genesis begins to glow with new light. Perhaps the garments in the garden were never merely about hiding nakedness. Perhaps they were God's declaration that humanity still belonged to him. Not because nothing had happened. Not because sin was insignificant. Not because consequences disappeared. But because God's heart toward humanity had not become what humanity feared. Adam and Eve believed everything had changed. They hid from the one who formed them. They feared the one who walked with them. They expected death from the one who had just spoken life. Only a short time earlier, God had said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Genesis 1:26. Nothing in Genesis 3 suggests that God abandoned that declaration. Much like the prodigal son, Adam and Eve believed the relationship had been shattered. They saw themselves differently. They expected God to see them differently as well. But the story keeps revealing something astonishing. Adam and Eve now saw themselves through shame, but God continued to move toward them as his image bearers. Their perception had changed. God's heart had not. So before they leave the garden, God covers them. Not merely to conceal their shame, but as a visible declaration of an invisible relationship. The same kind of declaration Jacob made over Joseph. The same kind of covering Ruth sought from Boaz. The same kind of joy David sang about when sin was covered. The same kind of robe the father placed upon the prodigal. God covers Adam and Eve as if to say, "These are mine." That thread runs all the way to Christ. Paul writes, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3:27. What remarkable language! Not merely forgiven by Christ, not merely taught by Christ, not merely helped by Christ, but clothed in Christ, covered, identified with Him, brought into His life. The language of family, the language of belonging, the language of home. The first thing Adam and Eve did after sin was cover themselves in shame. The first thing God did after speaking life was cover them in belonging. Humanity hid. God came looking. Humanity covered itself. God provided the covering, and perhaps that is the gospel. Not merely that sin can be forgiven, but that humanity can finally awaken to the God who has been revealing His heart since the garden. The God who called for Adam. The God who spoke life. The God who clothed His children. The God revealed in Jesus Christ. Hidden within those ancient garments is a message humanity has needed to hear from the very beginning. You are not what shame has called you. You are not what fear has named you. You are not merely the sum of what you have done. The Father has come looking. The Father has spoken life. The Father has provided the covering that says what words alone could never fully carry. You belong.